Well, good morning. Coming to you live in living color from New Beginnings Fellowship Mid-Cities. God is good. And all the time, praise God. My name is Brother Justin Warren. I'll be filling in for our senior pastor, Tim Hall, and the First Lady today. They are on the greater tour of Southeast Texas, bringing the good news. Praise God. I'll be with you here for the next 2 weeks. So we're in this together, and I appreciate you being here with us today. In preparation for our next series, it's highlighting self-centeredness and hard-heartedness. And we'll be moving into lesson one today on the deception of selfishness. I want to remind those that are viewing in today that we have a host of resources for you through our New Beginnings Fellowship website here at newbeginningsfellowshipmidcities.com, along with our Facebook account for New Beginnings Fellowship Mid-Cities and our YouTube account for New Beginnings Fellowship Mid-Cities. Please feel free to share those with anyone and everyone you feel led, as well as we have a Give Now button if you feel led as well. Thank you for blessing us as we continue to love Jesus and loving you. The deception of selfishness. I'm reminded of 3 weeks ago, I got to go be the godfather to the litter of three of my best friend that has been my best friend and confidant. Some stories good, some stories we won't tell today, since sixth grade. But I got to go over to Watauga, Texas about 3 weeks ago and be the godfather to my amazing three godsons. I'm also blessed to be an uncle, to be a funcle, a god uncle, as well as I am a son of God, and I'm a brother to many. I share this with you because it's very easy to forget that in these trying times. It's very easy to forget that whenever we go through seasons of change. Change is a very hard word to define. Change can be a concept that makes waves in trying times and separates brother from brother and sister from sister. I can speak candidly for my second eldest godson. His name is Wolf. He follows Hunter, and the newborn baby is Kaiser. So needless to say, I am very proud of my godsons, the way in which they've been named, as well as their emergent, growing relationship with Christ. And that's what I want to share with you today. While I was at this birthday party for Wolf, his second birthday, I wanted to really be in the moment and really soak up a lot of this goodness that comes from the children of God. I'm very fortunate to not only have a parsonage here on campus, but also with our pastoral staff being involved at our school here on campus. And Miss Renee does a fantastic job over at our Mid-Cities Christian Academy. The highlight of my day is when I get to wake up in the morning and walk outside and hear children of God laughing and playing and praying together and edifying one another and exhorting one another. And what's so spiritually fulfilling about that within spiritual oneness is that they get it. They get it in a childlike mentality, even at that age. But they get it because it's being bestowed onto them because they're completely open to it. I've often asked this question, what is our hang-up? If you remember our last series, what is our hang-up? If we're willing to put our lives in His hands, why can't we put everything else in His hands? I was reminded of this whenever I was helping at the birthday party, and I was going outside to get drinks out of the cooler and check the grill, and there was a child lock on the back door. And if any of you have ever had children or had a child lock, those are the vein of my existence. I've got bear paws for hands. These hands aren't made to do finite, meticulous things, but praise God, He bestows it to me. Because after the greater part of about 5 minutes, I finally was able to open the door. Now, mind you, I had not yet fallen into flesh, yet. I won't lie to you, there might have been some words that crossed my mind during this time in my imagination room, but I had my godsons and their friends around me. And I'm a superhero. I get to go be a superhero for a day. It's fantastic. I get to be a superhero on campus just by portraying Christ's likeness, mind you. That's the key. There was another gentleman at this party who I knew very well, who knew me very well, and chose to make light of the situation and more or less pass condemnation onto me for not being able to open the child-locked, child-proof door. Because I obviously am not necessarily a child anymore at the ripe old age of 35 with an 80-year-old back and 60-year-old knees. Now, that being said, whenever this was said to me, I got to be honest with you, there was a holy mad that came about me. As Pastor Hall would like to say, I tell you, I kind of lit a short fuse a little bit. I ran a little hot. And just as I was about to retort and turn to that individual who I've known for several years of my life, the Holy Spirit took over. The Holy Spirit filled my soul. The Holy Spirit stripped my flesh, mind you. Do you understand what I'm saying? It wasn't me. It wasn't my human nature, it was my spiritual nature. It was the Spirit that came over me and filled my soul because of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that power is for you, for me, for everyone, both believer or not. It's still here in this world, this fallen world. That power and authority is here, and it's for us to use on a daily basis. A daily basis. But we get this it factor. We get this ego about ourselves. Oh, I can overcome this. I've been through this before. I can fix it. But instead of me deciding to give in to ego and self-centeredness and hard-heartedness and retort in a way in which not honor my king and my kingdom, I chose to be silent. Because the voice of my Holy Spirit, my spirit man, said to me, you don't have to ask for forgiveness if you don't say it. This was an enlightening moment. This was a moment that I had been longing for a long time, both in my spiritual walk and, I'm going to be honest with you, just my general practice day to day. Because for those of you that know me and know me well, I got a quick trigger. I can stick my foot in my mouth. Quite often and frequently. And praise God for grace. I can tell you this ego gives a false sense of self. It's a security blanket with no security. It's almost like a child that carries their blanket around with them. Is it the blanket or is it the secure feeling that they get from the blanket? It's a connotation associated with an objectified thing. How often do we do this in our own lives? My family, my relationships, our marriages, our professional life. It's a slippery slope when operating for self. Self-condemnation, self-indulgence breeds a mentality of victimization. We're forced to invent our own perception of our own reality. We know what Galatians 6:3 says. Don't deceive yourself. Don't be deceived by a man in a fallen world. We can be our own worst enemy. We write our own narrative where we are the star, the hero, and the victim. How does that work? That's quite the conundrum, isn't it? But is it about me or is it about him? That's what we're going to be diving into today in regards to self-centeredness and hard-heartedness. We'll be out of the NIV today. Please turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 44. We'll be in verses 20 through 22 to start off our series today in lesson one. You also have notes to accompany your pamphlets this morning. They are in sequential order. You're welcome. Not throwing stones today. Verse 20. Such a person feeds on ashes. A deluded heart misleads him. He cannot save himself or say, it is not this thing in my right hand a lie. We hear, we see, but do we do? I see it for the lie that it is, but I deceive myself because I got to change my lifestyle. I got to change my thinking. I got to renew my mind. To do that, I'm going to have to sacrifice my time, but guess what? He redeems it. We miss that aspect of it. He blesses it tenfold. But we get hung up in, well, our stuff. Our stuff that turns to dust. Verse 21, remember these things, Jacob, for you, Israel, are my servant. We are his servant. I have made you. You are my servant, Israel. I will not forget you. I will not forsake you. Even when Christ was on the cross for you and I and everyone, said, my Lord, why hast thou forsaken me? It wasn't that he had forgotten him. It's that he had taken all the sins, both past, present, future, for all of us, believers or not. And God had to look himself in the omnipresent and turn away because of what he saw. He has not forsaken us. He is here. He is now. He is mighty. He is the living God. Verse 22. I have swept away your offenses like a cloud, your sins like the morning mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. He redeems the time. He blesses the time. He provides the time. His grace provisions our faith. We have to remind ourselves of that daily. We can't get caught up in the contentions and pretensions of seasons. Seasons come and seasons go. Good people, listen to me. Plagues have been throughout the entire Bible, the most accurate, historically proven document in the history of the world. Guess what? We survived. What's the end game? We win if we don't quit. Holy Spirit, be a servant. Exercise your gifts. Application. Helpmates, listen to me. When your newborn baby is crying in the next room and you've just laid down after a hard day's work, do you play the, I wonder if my significant other heard the baby first? Whenever you pass a homeless person, a transient, who's not even peddling, who might just need a kind word, a smile, brother, sister, how's your walk with Jesus? You know what Jesus has done for you and I? Or do we look past them, look through them? Choose another path. We'll highlight path here in just a minute. Do we play the I'm the sort of person game? Well, I understand that there's a need, but I'm the sort of person that does these kind of things all the time. I'm the sort of guy, when I see it, I take care of it. I'm the sort of woman that whenever I need to speak truth, I speak truth, knowing that it might step on toes. Knowing that it might wake and shake. Lord forbid it might wake and shake somebody and make them consider what this means to them in regards to application in their own life. That's Holy Spirit. That's Holy Spirit. Wake it up, shake it up, and then bake it. It's application. Are we using our gifts or are we casting them aside for worldly desires, flesh, and our stuff? We reject rejection. We're afraid to put ourselves out there because we're afraid of what someone might think, might do, might accost you, might say something to you that you might not want to hear. But guess what? In Ephesians 6, we have a mighty shield and mighty armor. Those words roll off of us like sweet honey. And we also turn those words into truths just by being a conduit, just by being a soundboard, just by being a believer. We create the blame game. That's not God. That's not even the enemy. That's us. We create the blame game. I'm a fair man. I'm hardworking. I deserve this. I deserve better. But what about so-and-so? What about, I understand I've got things that I can work on. I've got my booger bears, right? I got my ducks in a row, but what about so-and-so? We deflect. Look at what they're doing. The flesh is nuts. It's nuts. Why do we continue to put ourselves in self-condemnation? Self-justification. Self-betrayal. Self-betrayal is any action that goes against what I know to be right. If you know that you know that you know, guess what? You know what's right. It's that spirit man that we like to call conscience in this fallen world that speaks to us. Are you exercising your fruits? Are you renewing your mind? I focus on others' faults to justify mine. I exaggerate my virtues, which brings self-deception in the first place, which also deceives others, and then I cause others to stumble and put strongholds in others' lives. This is our conscience and conviction, not the Holy Spirit. This is our conscience and our conviction, not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is truth. When you get that truth, you exercise it. You vocalize it. You hear, you see, you do. We miss the doing. We hear, but are we doers? Are you convicted? Are we convicted about our convictions? We were cleansed in the blood, right? Yeah. We were born anew, perfect, clean slate. Here's the best part. We do stumble. We do sin. We are sinners. We repent. And guess what? The slate is wiped clean all over again. But here's the question. Are you a hearer and a doer? What do we do when others repent? Do we celebrate them? Do we have a praise parade for them whenever they do repent? Or do we play the sort of kind of person game? Well, it's about time. Sister, brother, I have been praying for you. Your ears have been burning. Maybe your feet. You were smelling like sulfur one day, but today you smell like a rose. Praise God. I was praying for you the entire time. Not, brother, sister, praise God. All glory be to God. Let's celebrate this together. Amen. Let me edify and exhort you. Let me truly, truly sharpen your iron. Not just use my words, use my actions. Faith without deeds and works is dead. Modern church, right? Religion. I want to put you in oppression. I want to put you back in bondage. I want to put you under law. Now you feel guilt? Great. Where's your checkbook? I need 12 tithe checks up front before you want to join our church. You go and make them out for the first of every month. Show your heart. Those are lies from the pits of hell. That is what the Son of God, the mirror image of God, came and paid for you and I. The debt has been paid, and anything that we submit to Him will never come back not in void. Ever. Galatians 6:3, the power of deception. Still in the NIV. Doing good to all. Verse 6. Chapter 6. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Are you doing it in a way in which edifies one another? And then are you exhorting with application? And then following up because of care? Verse 2, carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Do not be deceived by man or yourself in a fallen world. This is not the Holy Spirit. This is not the enemy. This is us. This is us not exercising our fruits. What's on your branches? And if the vine's not there, that's okay. There's secrets of it. And modern church will tell you, well, if you don't necessarily believe the way I do, I don't know if you can actually, you know, be a part of this with us. I don't know if you can actually be a part of our brethren. We might need you to do some things in your life before we can consider that because you're not right. You're not made right. Righteousness was a free gift. We're but filthy rags without it. It was a free gift that everyone was bestowed. Everyone. Believer and unbeliever alike. If you're an unbeliever, we're not supposed to disassociate from you. In fact, we're supposed to bring you in close. We're supposed to guard you. We're supposed to bring you under our wing. We're supposed to bring you down to the creek bed because you can hang out with me. Anytime, 24/7, 365, the doors are open. And you, if you hang out down by that creek bed with me long enough, guess what? Eventually, you're going to fall in. Call that water baptism. We'll work on the baptism of the Spirit next, right? Verse 4, each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone. It's okay to have pride in Jesus. It's the I in pride, as Pastor Hall has been discussing with us over communion. It's the I in pride. That's the issue. Well, praise God. I would just happen to be driving down that road on that day whenever you were broke down. Praise God, I was there. That's a predestined master plan that you were a pawn in. You were a vessel in. All praise be to God for those opportunities. All praise be to God for opportunities to share Jesus without fear and be a vessel for Christ's likeness and grow the kingdom and inspire a feeling inside someone, within the Holy Spirit rooted in Christ that makes you more than a conqueror, that allows you in trying times such as now to be able to speak authority, speak a truth without hesitation. To be able to say, I voted the Bible. without hesitation. And I don't have to explain myself. That is my God. That's who stands for my God. That's who's standing up for my God in times of strife, trials, and tribulation. I am called to bear their burdens. I'm called to support them and place them under my wing and link arms with my brethren. When did it get unpopular to love somebody? When did it get unpopular because I don't like what you said that I hate you? When did that become a thing? These are all deceptions of selfishness, folks. This is world stuff. This is secular stuff. These are sins of the Father. This is idolatry. It's just you choosing what you want your God to be, as opposed to the true God, to the spirit man that speaks to you about the true God, that longs for you to be at rest in the Word, and at rest in your life, and at rest in your relationships, and wants you to be at rest with being able to speak authority whenever you are imposed upon by the Spirit to speak it. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the Word should share all good things with their instructor. God, thank you so much. Thank you for bestowing that word of wisdom, that word of knowledge to me. I praise you. May it be something that continues to not only bless this situation, bless my testimony, bless my ministry, bless the lives that you touch through me being a vessel. But, Lord, let it honor you. I give you glory. And testify it. Share it. Share it with those that need to hear it when it's oppressed upon you. Don't hold back. Share Jesus without fear. Amen. Verse 7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Verse 8. Whoever sows to please their flesh, listen to this. From the flesh will reap destruction. What does the enemy come to do? Kill, steal, and destroy. Are you seeing this? Do you see what your flesh does to you? Do you see what you invite whenever you operate in the flesh? Things get attached to you, Christians. I won't go into deep detail about stuff like that, but it's got horns and it's got a pitchfork. Accountability. Remove the dialogue that causes you to stumble and replace it with the direct line communication that you receive within your spirit. And I guarantee you, you walk around with that shield shiny, polished, and brand new 24/7, 365, all the way up to the end times, and we win.
Amen.
If we don't quit. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Freely give, freely receive. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we shall reap the harvest if we do not give up. Galatians 6:9. And what's so interesting about this verse is even whenever I was in the wilderness and I was not living for my God, my spirit was still speaking to me because it wasn't dead. My spirit gave me this verse because it knew exactly what I needed to hear, what I needed to say, what I needed to do to not only improve my current state but also glorify God. Therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us, good people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers, exhort, edify, and care. Moving on. Psalms 36. We're going to take this a step farther. Flattering oneself in exaggerated virtues. Self-justifying word that only benefits us. Perverted and distorted truth. A false truth. And counterfeit lies that we tell ourselves. Psalms 36, verse 1. I have a message from God in my heart concerning the sinfulness of the wicked. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Listen to this, verse 2. In their own eyes, they flatter themselves too much to detect or hate their sin. It goes right back to one of the best virtues, in my opinion, from the Bible in Galatians 6. Do not be deceived. Do not deceive yourself. Do not be deceived by man in a fallen world. You're so deceived that you don't even know that you're deceived. Revelation. Verse 3. The words of their mouths are wicked and deceitful, which causes us to fail to act wisely or good. Whenever I couldn't open up that child lock on that back door at my godson's house, I got to choose. We all get to choose. It's more than just free will, folks. I got to choose how I want to respond. I got to choose how I wanted to speak love. Because I tapped into that spirit man. And the conversation, the platform, the dialogue that came from that was a platform and a dialogue and a conversation of love and about Father, about the Good Shepherd. We talked about our troubles. We talked about our woes. And we exhorted and edified one another. Then we embraced and we showed that we cared. We prayed for one another. Verse 4, even on their beds they plot evil. They commit themselves to a sinful course and do not reject what is wrong. We reject rejection. Your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens. Your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the highest mountains. Your justice like the great deep. You, Lord, preserve both people and animals. He preserves us. He preserves. If you have Jesus on your heart and on your face, He preserves you. There's a heavenly body waiting for you that's brand spanking new. I don't know about y'all, but I'm really excited about playing basketball again up in heaven. I'm really excited about having a vertical again in heaven, about having a brand new body. Walking those golden streets and having that room that's been prepared for me, that big old mansion up there. Getting to see my matriarchs and my patriarchs that poured into me for all those years and told me that they were praying for me, that were convicted by the Spirit and led to speak, and didn't hold back, but spoke in love, not in condemnation. That planted mustard seeds. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. How priceless, verse 7, is your unfailing love, O God. People take refuge in the shadows of your wings. We bear one another's burdens. We guard one another's hearts. We are that security blanket in Christ for one another. Amen. It's important what we're doing right now. It's important that we're coming together. Just as we see in Matthew, it's important that we are congregating together as like-minded believers. Because where two or three or more are gathered, He is here. He is here. He is filling this room with His presence right now, and there is revelation happening. There is Jesus peace happening. There is Jesus joy happening. there's a remembrance that is happening. We tune out season and replace it with Strictly God, top 40 on your playlist. Verse 8, they feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink and from your river of delights. For with you is the fountain of life. It's overflowing. It doesn't stop. It's constant. It's that top 40 playlist. 24/7. Playing with you all the time. Your favorite tunes. Jesus peace and Jesus love. Got it on loop. It's good stuff. Tune in. Verse 10. Continue your love to those who know you, your righteousness to the upright in heart. Listen to this. Verse 11. May the foot of the proud not come against me. May the foot of the proud not come against me, nor the hand of the wicked drive me away. You've been hurt. Been victimized. Someone's spoken hate to you. Been broken. Therapy is putting a Band-Aid over a bullet wound. Get in the Word. There was things that I didn't even know I had not forgiven myself for until I got into this study. There was things that had been attached to me that were not of Him, by Him, or through Him until I got in the Word and said, Lord, what are You speaking to me? Give me that heavenly manna. Give me that angel food cake. Keep that playlist coming. See how the evildoers lie fallen. What's the end game? Thrown down and not able to rise. If we know that that is the end game for the opposite side of the equation, why do we become deceived? Because we're double-minded. It's not fresh. We don't renew our minds. We don't bear our burdens unto Him, unto one another. We don't exhort, edify, then show care. James 1:22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Amen. Last series I talked about hearing and seeing. He gave me something else. Amen. Missed it. Yeah. Sorry. Coming back to hit it now. Hear, see, and do. Be a doer. Be a doer. The audible is not enough. And so, we nod our head on Sundays, say amen, say preach, walk out the double doors, have lunch with our families and friends, and go home lost as a goose in a hailstorm. Because we can deceive ourselves. Well, that was a good word, but I don't know if that was for me. I think that was probably for somebody else. But I affirm it. I'm in agreement. Right? When that baby's crying in that next room, I sleep so hard that, you know, I could probably get away with saying I didn't even hear the baby in the first place. When I know my helpmate has been home with that baby all day. I know my helpmate hasn't showered in 3 days. That baby's had colic. And I work a 9 to 5, and I work very hard. I should be able to get a good night's sleep. That's self-deprecation. That's taking it to the infinite degree. You are so lost that you have deceived yourself when you get to that point. This is my place of business, not a shelter or a halfway house. You can't sleep here. No, I can't give you the bread of life. I can't fill your belly. But these are the conversations that we have with one another. The Spirit speaks to us. We're led. But the old flesh creeps in. And we don't act. These self-gratifying images become a characteristic of ourselves over time. It ends up being our auto response. And whenever you give that auto response enough, people stop asking. People stop surrounding themselves with like-minded individuals. People start resenting believers. Aren't you a Christian? Aren't you a mirrored image of Christ? Don't you have the same authority as Christ in this earth? Wasn't that bestowed to you? Didn't you receive that? Didn't you accept Him into your heart and make a pledge? Our manifest destiny that we have in the kingdom by being His vessels here on this earth? But the game's on. Well, I got to be up early tomorrow. You know, I would love to help you with that, but I just can't. Oof. I've been guilty of that one. Mark it for me. I'm a good person. Mark it for me. I'm a good father. I'm a good mother. I'm a good Christian. What we tell others and bring them down with us. You have to understand, whenever you say those things, it's soul down. It's not spirit up. You're not rising above the current state. You're not rising above the season. Seasons come and seasons go, but we're not rising above it. We're not looking up and receiving. We're judging. We're condemning. We're placing others in condemnation by either not acting or retorting with that old sin nature, with that old flesh, with our auto response. And I hate saying this, this is the modern church today. This is society. This is lukewarm believers. The blame game is to find and point out faults in others. Season that we're in right now. You voted the Bible? Well, you must be a racist. You must want me to live in oppression. You must believe in idolatry. What does New Covenant say about that? These are questions that are posed from people that get woke, as the word is used today. I call it waking and shaken. I spoke my truth. I spoke what was bestowed to me, what the Spirit led me to say, the truth to you, with no condemnation, just truth from the heart, from love, from a point of love, from a platform of love. From love that was bestowed to me from an amazing, almighty Father that loves me despite myself, despite my sins. It's agape love and it catches like wildfire. And when you speak that truth to somebody, yeah, it's going to stir them up. It's going to wake them and it's going to shake them. Well, that kind of hurts my feelings. I think you're stepping on my toes a little bit there, Pilgrim. Well, take it up with God. That's my word, been given freely to me, to freely give to you. You get to choose freely whether you want to receive it. Amen? Amen. But it's all about me. I'm focused on myself. I'm a good guy. I think about others all the time. There's either victims or blamers in this society today. This has become a cancellation society. If I don't agree, if I don't like it, then it's canceled. Well, that's a double-edged sword, folks. If I don't agree and I don't like it based off of what these truths tell me in the Bible and what the truths tell me in my spirit, guess what? I'm turning it off. I'm going back to my playlist. Jesus. Top 40. I love it. Anger, in a way, is our own deception. I'm mad at others for doing what I do. How does that work? Well, you can't get frustrated for me getting frustrated with you. You mean you didn't like my post? You mean in this world that we live in, this fallen world, okay, that boasts 300 billion people, mind you, we might disagree? Brother, that's not hate. That's connotation. That's association. But here's my question. Are you receiving or are you trying to achieve? If you're trying to achieve a truth, it's all self. Our job to receive within the Holy Spirit is to put in the time. To get it in the Word, to rest in the Word, to come to our God in prayer and ask for these things with a sensitive heart and a sensitive nature in a spiritual realm. We can't be half-hearted in things that we want to receive, because then they just become another lambskin, another achievement. I'd rather have a crown. I'd rather be judged by my Heavenly Father with Jesus right beside Him. And if He gave me a crown, I'd lay it at His feet. Because you saved me. You save me every day. And your son didn't have to crawl back up on that cross daily for me to be saved. It's done. But instead, we play the blame game. We blame others. We blame ourselves. We become self-centered and provoke others to do the same because our focus is not where it needs to be. We need others to continue to be wrong to justify our own actions. But I ask you again, what do we do when they repent? What do we do for each other when we repent? This should be the aha moment. This should be just under graduation, folks. This is next level spiritual realm stuff. This is Jesus to the second power kind of stuff. Amen. We need to celebrate one another. We need to exhort. We need to edify. We need to care. If we're not doing those three things within the Spirit, we're wrong. Our vines are not bearing fruit. The fruit has rotted and fallen off. To do that, we have to check ourselves. We have to check one another. The lie creates a new reality in a new world, not the spiritual realm. You understand, it's not even the fallen world anymore. It's this world that you've created, this box that you've put yourself in. But here's the thing. You can't put Jesus in a box, and you can't put the Holy Spirit in a box. It's supernatural. It is all. It is everything. We treat others differently. Oh, you're not a believer? Sorry, I'm gonna go ahead and distance myself from you a little bit. You don't know where your ID is in Christ at the cross? Well, I'm not sure if you can be a part of us. This is the dissension in the ranks. You go back to Leviticus and you look at the way in which the early church was organized. That was not part of it at any point. At any point. And what we're seeing is modern church going astray in terms of the high Templars and the high church of old. It's not monetary. It's spiritual. It's supernatural. It's, are you willing to put in the time? Yeah. Are you willing to build on relationships? Are you willing to sacrifice your stuff for the betterment of the kingdom? This causes divorce. We have the highest divorce rate we've ever had in our nation right now. The highest. We also have the highest abuse rate right now in our nation. And in most city states, we have the highest murder per capita that we've ever had. These things fester. These things turn into bigger conundrums that become a launching point for evil to run rampant and for evil to do evil. But it's one chink at a time. If you give the devil an inch, he's going to take a foot. Two choices, responsive as people or resistant. Treat people as objects. If you're a resistant person, you treat people as objects. We objectify them through our own selfishness. I don't see you as an equal. You're someone that justifies my means to an end. You can help me with this, and then I throw you away. What does that sound like? That sounds like the enemy, doesn't it? That sounds like the hired hand from our last series, doesn't it? You know who also does this in our fallen world today? Serial killers, murderers, rapists. Which side are we on? Here's the line, foot of the cross. Which side are we on? Can't even see the world around them or the people in it. Because we turned our back to it. Amen. Revival time is now. God's people needs to stand up, be counted, and stand in the gap. Standing for what they know that they know that they know. Standing for righteousness in a fallen world. Our lives consist of relating to other people. My spouse needs my help. My child needs my attention. My friend needs my help. My neighbor needs my assistance. My employer needs my loyalty. My coworker needs my assistance. If you don't do these things, you lose friends, You lose people in your life. You lose your position in terms of what you do in your own ministry. It's not just here. It's not just in your homes. It's also in your workplaces. It's also in your activities that you do with like-minded individuals. And here's the other thing that I bring to attention. If you don't do these things in your family, in your relationships, they fall by the wayside. If you don't do these things in your position of business, you don't have a job anymore. You don't have clients. You don't have people that trust you. Amen. Why do we do that with God? I trust you with my life. Trust, obey, pray, repeat, I got it, yeah. But I trust you with my life. Why am I not trusting you with all other facets of my ministry when that is the number one thing that we were asked to do under the new covenant of grace to grow the kingdom and be vessels for the gospel? What's the hang up? I ask it again. It's flesh. It's being so consumed by flesh that we can't hear our spirit man, and we don't know when we're led because we second-guess ourselves. We're double-minded. We must guard our heart from this deception. Everybody wants a piece of me. No, the world wants a piece of you. Guess what? If you're living for Jesus, slings and arrows are coming from Satan left and right because you are on the path. You're doing the good work. You're living your walk. And just like in our last series, we saw that that king gets a whole quiver of arrows too. We get to fire back. Keep firing back. Don't just shoot three arrows into the ground. Keep firing back. We know the end game. We're in the end times. This is the end days. We're calling all Christians. We're calling all believers to stand up and stand in the gap. Do what He's commanded us to do. Glorify Him. That's right. Stand in the gap and be the gap. That's right, sister. Every person is precious. Isn't that right, sister? Amen. 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 That's right. Praise God. Thank you for that word. Thank you for that word of knowledge. Every person is precious. I want to crawl into your life. I want to know about what you think. I want to edify you. Give of myself to people. Jesus said, lose your life to gain it. Matthew 10:39. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Stand in the gap. Matthew 16:25. For whomever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. Stand in the gap. Lose yourself in response to others. That's the challenge today. How do you choose to respond? Do you want the thorn? Oh, how does it affect me? You want to be demonized like Paul? Hits home, doesn't it? You want to keep your playlist on things that are going to fester in your heart and your soul and cause distraction? We all do it. We all grow together. And the season is now to walk in holy boldness with one another, to edify, to exhort, and to care. Don't be pigeonholed. Don't let abuse, don't let neglect, don't let codependency, don't let victimization distract you from your calling, good people. The gospel, the good news, is still here. And it's the best-selling book out there. Don't give the experience authority. Don't give the enemy authority. Well, I try to believe God. This is what has happened to me all my life. I'm not worthy. I'm lesser than. I'm broken. I'm not pastor. We're all pastors. Go back to Leviticus. Look at it. We're all pastors. It's broken down in five different areas. You choose which one you want. Your response is the issue. Do not let one event dictate the rest of your life. We trap ourselves in the world of self-deception. Everyone needs me, but what about me? I wonder if Jesus ever took on that nature. Christ-likeness, that's the goal, right? The Holy Spirit puts people in your life path for a reason. What have you done to salvage that person? God has never dumped anyone anywhere. God brings people aside you to serve and to love on. I know there are flaky Christians that take the flaky train to Flaky Town every once in a while. But I'd rather deal with a Flaky Town Christian than have to raise you from the dead. To raise you from the dead. I don't like their personality. They're my sandpaper person. You might be the last person that God has sent them to for you to be able to help them, exhort them, edify them, care for them, sharpen their iron. You might be the last person they talk to before they go home and put a six gun in their mouth. In reflection, we survey the scene first. We don't use our toolbox. We don't exercise our gifts automatically. This is lukewarm. What does Scripture say about lukewarm? Spew it out. Get rid of it. That's not part of your DNA. That's not part of your bone and marrow as a believer. Why? Why do we do this? Why do we allow this to even have a presence in our life? Because we are self-centered, carnal nutcases. But it's the he that is in me. It's the he that is in me. We're living on Jesus' track record. It's about Jesus' report card, not mine. Praise God for that. Guess what? He exhorts, edifies, and cares for us. See how that works? Mirror image of Christ. Live in Christ's likeness. What are we supposed to be doing for each other? Steps 1 through 3. Repeat. You can speak truth in love without damaging people. We want the experience without putting in the work. We want to wave banners. Look for signs and wonders, right? We want to do outreach and evangelism and missions and blessings. Write a check for $1,000 and then show your slideshow of the Holy Land. That's not God. Don't give them a mess of fish without teaching them how to fish. Exhort, edify, care. Repeat. Remove people from human and religious bondage, racism, oppression, and poverty by serving them and instilling a great love for the Word of God. A greater love for glorifying Him and growing His kingdom of grace. The pledge. Do it right the first time. Don't be deceived. It's not about me. It's about Him. This is life-changing stuff. This will change your life. Keep it fresh. Renew your mind daily. Allow it to manifest holy boldness in you. To share Jesus without fear. To completely be a conduit for His glory and for His kingdom. Refuse to go into any situation and be deceived by your own selfishness. I want you, if you don't take anything from this today, I want you to hear this. Paul Milligan, who is a CEO, CFO, Fortune 500 Christian billionaire, has taught all over the world, has put all types of living water systems into remote areas where people have no substance for life. But he does it with bringing the good word first. By edifying, by exhorting, and by caring. I can't teach you how to love Christ if I don't betray it first. Can't teach you how to love one another if I don't betray it to you first and show you how much I love you. This is why Jesus spoke in parables. This is why Jesus would perform signs and wonders and then would speak in parables. I have to grab your attention. I have to shake and wake you first before I can bake. Paul Milligan says, if you cut your brother off from love, they might as well be dead and buried because you have kept them from grace. I leave you with that today. Thank you so much, church brethren. Thank you for hearing the word of God today. Receive it. Invest it. It will never come back, not in void. For all of you that viewed in today and came to church with us, thank you so much. You bless us with your time. Thank you for putting in the time. May we continue to sharpen one another's iron. We'll be coming back for lesson 2 in the deception of selfishness, highlighting self-deprecation and also self-justification next week. Thank you so much for tuning in. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. Amen.